To try and do a wine one this evening.
Well, we're in the middle of a conversation and I don't mind actually start carrying on. But what I wanted to ask you was, it's this thing about fowls. Oh, damn it, I've forgotten, Roger, what the... I had a really good question to ask you. It connected with professional fowls and standing on people's instep and the fact that Nobby... It came after Nobby Styles used to take you away at the ankles. Unceremoniously, I do not remember him ever stamping on anybody's foot. This is, do you damage a metatarsal or whatever you call that by standing on a foot?
Yeah, you can. You
so
can
Nobby Styles was very generous the way in which he fouled people. He didn't damage their metatarsal, he just broke their leg.
He just broke their leg, yeah.
Which isn't as bad.
I don't know what the healing time is. Depends on the, either way, you're out of the match. He's taken you off. I mean, my impression of Nobby Styles, who played before, well before I can remember football being played, was that he almost went onto the pitch with a scythe and somehow had that hidden about his person.
The 1966 World Cup, I mean, I don't think they'd have won it without Nobby. In fact, I don't think Leeds would ever have won a championship without Nobby Styles. And I'd love to go back and look at the 66 World Cup final. Certainly England wouldn't have got to the final.
There was the France game, wasn't there, where he took out a French player and the manager asked him afterwards, did you do that intentionally? And Nobby Styles said, no, I didn't. And the manager said, well, that's good enough for me then. I'm sure there was a game. I mean, look, this is all before my time, so I don't really know what happened in the 66.
It's normal in sport. The only game you don't take, well, the only team game in which I think you don't take out another player and you kind of almost, rah, 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 we'll take that out half on or we'll take that centre forward out, is tennis. Now, in tennis, very few players hit the ball deliberately at the other player with intention to take them out of the game.
And it's a great shortcoming in the game, really. I mean, it would really spice it up if they did that. I mean,
you do it in cricket.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, body line and even after body line was bumpers, let's hit them on the head. Let's knock him on the chest. So cricket is absolutely boxing.
Yep.
Ice hockey.
Ice hockey.
American football has to be the same. Yep. Rugby. Look at what happened to Brian O'Driscoll in... Was it South Africa or New Zealand?
It was a Lions tour of New Zealand.
Two players picked him up.
Spear tackle,
and they speared him into the ground in the first 3 or 4 minutes?
Yeah.
And that was the end of his tour?
That was the end of his tour, and that was the end of the... Yes. I'm trying to think of the... You don't see much violence in chess.
Now, there's a good thing.
Not during the match,
anyway. I think there have been allegations that in chess... I think the allegations would be made by the Americans against the Russians that they were blasting brain waves at the other side.
Right.
But I agree, there are no fisticuffs.
Well,
they sit underneath the table. So, Roger, in chess,
yes.
What if you kick the opponent?
Oh, you're not. You've got
under the table.
Go one further. Who's the Bond villainess who has the blades hidden in her shoes?
Oh,
with poison.
Shrek or wench or.
Anyway, you could have poison blades hidden in your.
Yeah.
Hidden in your brogues, and you could be
better still to drug them the previous night so that they arrive late. And you've already made your first move, and they have chewed up 40 minutes of their time.
There's an allegation, I'm sure, that some football team was poisoned on the eve of a football match.
Oh, well, what happened in, was it rugby or football, where a whole load of fans, it's believed, were organised to chant outside the hotel... to keep the opponents awake.
Well, welcome to Paul and Roger's Dastardly Deeds for Sporting Teams, in which we recommend how you can beat your opponent in a dastardly way.
Yeah, which has been brought on in response to a guy who really is quite provocative, Dave Thackeray.
Oh, I mean, the audio fouls he has committed. I don't know how he gets away with it. I mean, the referees turned a blind. See, what happens, Paul, is you become a superstar, and the referees, they chicken out. They're afraid to give you a yellow card, let alone a red card. And this is Dave Thackeray, is a superstar, and of course the referees, well, they don't dare do take any action anymore.
Ernie is not the kind of referee who stops the match in the middle of audio mo.
No, he's one of these referees who prefers to let the game flow.
Yes, absolutely.
Regardless of the number of limbs that are littered around the field.
Only occasionally does he send somebody off. I believe this year he actually contacted Twitter headquarters or somebody headquarters and got an account or two blocked.
Yes, he did.
That's being sent off.
There were some sendings off this year for...
which I've never heard of before.
Well, absolute violent conduct. So yes, there were a couple of sendings off, which makes this year's audio mo tournament quite interesting, doesn't it? It sticks in your mind. There were two sendings off.
There are a number of teams who have not had the ability to keep going. They've run out of wind and steam, and they've suffered cramp.
Didn't get
and
out of
they
the group
haven't
stage.
Got out of, I suppose the group stage is the first 20 days.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Now we're into the...
we're at quarter-final
the
stage.
The quarter-final. Well, yeah. Are we into semis yet?
No.
When is the final?
So if Wednesday's the final, then Tuesday's the quarter-final. So today we're into the quarter-finals. Is Wednesday the final? It is.
I think the point system that is there but never written down, of course, is that the overall winner is the person who has posted 30 mo's, 30 pieces of audio, on time every day, as opposed to 3 minutes past midnight getting your audio mo in, or putting two of them in on the same day. I think that means Mark Cotton is ruled out. I think he was, I don't think he's the runner.
Gosh, I posted two yesterday, I think.
Well,
so
you're
I'm out.
I'm probably disqualified because I did more than one a day. And I think I did, I definitely got in after midnight one day. I think Christian Payne is certainly in the semi-finals. I don't think that Kate Sparkle, is she in the semi-finals? I mean, she's several times been saying that she barely didn't make it had nothing to say.
And Stefano might not have got there either. Anyway, who knows? We will see. We have to leave this to the referee, clearly.
You think Ernie will go through every single participant from day one?
I can absolutely guarantee you, with hand on my heart, on my wife's grave, absolutely.
Wife did not die yet.
She didn't.
Yes, I agree. But who has a chart of, you know, the first day, audio mo, 37 contributors. Day two, a tick.
Yeah.
Day three, fewer ticks. Day 15.
I tell you what, that's somebody who really needs another hobby.
I used to do that, though. When I was a teenager, Roger, I had a book which had a red cover. And it contained a record, one page for each... week, I think, of the charts, top 20. So when Pretty Flamingo entered the charts at 18 and went 18, 12, 6, 3, 1, 1, 1, 4, 9, and 11, I had that all recorded. So I could track where you came in at and where you went out at. Unfortunately, this book doesn't still exist.
It would be a very interesting record of records. to have. Also, just, I wonder, I mean, obviously these records exist somewhere, but would your record marry up with the existing records? This is,
and it's, well, a mine fan were t- record, mine were you? Definitely taken from the NME, I think,
right.
Not from Radio London. Now, of course, this is before any of our listeners know about this. Radio London had a top 20 chart that was ahead. It must have been predictive, but it was actually where you would get stuff that was practically in the top 20 at least 1 week and probably 2 weeks. Well, I don't know. I used to listen to it so often that it probably was a number of days ahead. But it's where, in theory, you know, I don't know if Frank Zappa ever made the top 20, but he might have made the Radio London top 20. And there's, we better change the subject,
there's a question.
Yeah.
a famous artist who never actually had a top 20 hit. There must be some artists who were world famous.
Okay.
Huge following.
We're going to do a pub quiz. Name an artist who's very famous, very well known, a household name, let's say, who never had top 20 hit.
Vincent Van Gogh.
Correct. Yes. What about Pavarotti? Well, I know he made the... not Pavarotti. He probably got in there singing with, I don't know, Nina Simone. But okay, tell me the name of a cricketer, one of the greatest cricketers,
right,
with one of the highest test batting averages, who never got a century.
Oh my word, I couldn't.
I know.
Goodness,
tell me.
Never got a century, wow.
Tell me the name of a player, a forward, or let's even make it harder, a centre forward, who played at least 100 games for their country or even their club and never scored a goal.
Very bad one. This is an actual one and it's quite well known, so I wonder if you'll get it. Who played their entire career at a very high level, national, international, without ever getting a yellow card?
Lineker.
That's my understanding as well. So we'll say correct, Paul O'Mahony. You win this sachet of sugar.
I had a slight reservation. Did he get one once?
Did it
get on the front page of the Sun newspaper? You know.
National shame. Lineker lets nation down.
But I will stick with Lineker as being the only... Yeah. Now...
We will be corrected, because this will be on the internet and no...
Well, there are football people doing audio mo, and for all we know, Thackeray may know a little bit. By the way, just interrupting for a second. Thackeray is a famous name. Is it a famous name of a book by Charles Dickens, which has the name Thackeray in it? Or was there somebody called Silas Thackeray?
There might be a writer called Thackeray, you know.
Oh, yeah. Was that an 18th century novelist? One of the earliest novelists in human history?
Possibly. I don't know.
Thackeray.
I'm not very cultured, as you well know, because, and we should actually explain this for Dave's benefit, if not anybody else's. We know each other quite well.
Well enough to not interrupt each other and interrupt each other.
Absolutely. So Dave, yes, you correctly identified that Paul and I both live in Cork in Ireland.
You have asserted it's 700 metres apart.
Yes, because when I used to run, and I'd have the tracker on and on my phone, and a voice would come on and it would tell me how long it took me to cover the distance. It would basically tell me, you've been running for 5 minutes and you've still only covered 700 metres. And I would go, oh, I'm just outside level with Paul's house. So that's kind of how I have that fairly accurate assessment, which immediately gives you an idea just how slow I run. There we are.
But, you know, you've revealed a lot of things about yourself during audio mode that really have surprised me, and if I'm surprised, has surprised everybody else.
Oh, right, I thought you knew everything about me.
The depth of knowledge you have about running events. Astonishing. Utterly astonishing, right? I am trusting that you didn't have Wikipedia open in front of you while you were doing
it. I did not, and I wish I did, because I perpetuated, anyway, continued the myth around a certain running event. I was slightly inaccurate with some of the details, because I repeated the myth, which is not 100% correct in some of my things I said. But anyway, go
myths
on.
Are not required to be correct.
Well, this one definitely isn't.
Well, you left out the race that is around the circular race around Mont Blanc.
Oh, UTMB.
Did you mention it?
Yes, that is UTMB.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you're very strong on that. Unfortunately, I haven't listened to them, but I cannot believe you got through the entire month without revealing something about growing your own food. Surely there is something in there about butterflies or slugs.
No, it was all of it. It's all about wine. And then until
sobriety got in the way and you stopped your wine casts, I'll call them,
I ran out of what it was, Paul. It's my case of Curious Wines wine ran out. And, so it was just, I thought, well, I can't continue now.
Do you think that others who very few people have done wine mows, by the way, you seem to have got the genre, although I do think that man in Cambridge, I think it's Cambridge, yes, I know, who looks out on a lovely scene and who used to go working, I think, in the BBC every day. He used to do
Thompson,
the Bill Williams, Bill Thompson.
Bill Thompson,
he used to, I'm pretty sure he's done audio more before, and that in previous years, last year perhaps, he was even complaining about the fact that he has to travel daily from Cambridge into Bush House. And he has now found a way of continuing to work for the BBC while only going about maximum twice a week. And he even managed to miss two trains, I think, in the first week.
That I didn't know. I have heard Bill's mows, if you like. But that was news. That's news to me.
I want to mention something, because I can't possibly talk about Audio Mo, not just this year, but the previous year and the previous year, that I think the only podcast episodes that are going to still be worth finding, I pick my words very carefully, in 100 years' time, are the podcast episodes from the guy behind the Bletchley Park podcast, because I think that the only podcast that I can think of that is really going to be wanted in 100 years' time, and for as long as human history continues, or as long as anybody remembers that there was a Second World War, for as long as anyone remembers that there was a Second World War, which wasn't a foregone conclusion, which of course most people in future will think, oh, we were bound to win.
Yes.
Yeah. But it wasn't a foregone conclusion, is the Bletchley Park podcast. I submit that as, I don't think a single one of Dave Thackeray's contributions to Audio Mo, certainly nobody except my great grandchildren will have any interest in mine. I think Dave Thackeray's ones will be of interest to his great-grandchildren. And I could name every single person on Audio Mo. Probably most of them don't realize it, are creating content which is historic and gold dust to their great-grandchildren.